Somehow that canopy got raised. The struts were new matter dating back to the founding of the Consent. As dusk fell, they began to emit a soft light that came from all directions and made even Fromm and Taxon look healthy. Beneath it, 1,200 visitors, 300 Decenarians, and 500 Unarians celebrated Tenth Night. This had originated as a harvest festival, coinciding with the end of the calendar year. Thanks to some adroit sequence writing that had been done before the second sack, we had a few crops that could grow almost year-round. In our greenhouses, we could cultivate less hardy plants in midwinter. But that stuff wasn't glorious in the way that tangle food was at this time of the year. The tangle had been invented way back before Canoas, by people who lived on the opposite side of the world from Ethras and Baz. Cob grew straight up out of the ground to the height of a man's head and bore rich heads of party-colored kernels late in the summer. In the meantime, it served as a trellis for climbing vines of pod beans that gave us protein while fixing nitrogen in the soil to nourish the cob. In the web that the pod bean vines spun among the cob stalks, three other kinds of vegetables grew. Highest from the ground, where bugs couldn't get to them, red, yellow, and orange tomates to give us vitamins and flavor our salads, stews, and sauces. Snaking along the ground, gourds of many varieties. In the middle, hollow pepper pods. Tubers of two kinds grew beneath the ground, and leaf vegetables gathered whatever light remained. The original ancient tangle had comprised 8 plants, and the people who cultivated them had, over thousands of years, bred them to be as efficient as they could be without actually reaching in and tinkering with their sequences. Ours were more efficient yet, and we had added 4 more types of plants, 2 of which had no purpose other than to replenish the soil. At this time of year, the tangles we've been cultivating since thaw were in their glory and sported a variety of color and flavor that couldn't be had extramuros. That's why Appert took place now. It was a way for those inside the math to share their good fortune with their neighbors' extramuros, as well as to relieve them of any babies not likely to survive the winter. I saved seats for Cord and her boyfriend, Rosk. Cord also brought with her a cousin of ours, Daff, a boy of 15. I remembered him vaguely. He'd been the kind of youngster who was always being rushed to Physicians' Commons for repair of astonishing traumas. Somehow he'd survived, and even put on passable clothing for the event. His dents and scars were hidden beneath a mess of curly brown hair. Arcibald made sure he was seated across from the exquisite Cord. He didn't appear to understand the significance of Rosk. Jesri caused his entire family to sit at the next table, which placed him back to back with me. Then Jesri flagged down Orlo and persuaded him to sit in our cluster. Orlo attracted Leo and several other lonely wanderers who proceeded to fill out our table. Death was the kind of sweet, untroubled soul who could ask very basic questions with no trace of embarrassment. I tried to answer them in the same spirit. "You know I'm a slime, cousin," I said. "So the difference between slimes and us is not that we're smarter. That is demonstrably not the case." This topic had come up after people had been eating, drinking, talking, and singing old carols just long enough to make it obvious that there really were no differences. Death, who had come through his early mishaps with his good sense intact, had been looking about and taking note of this. I could read it on his face. And so he had raised the question of why bother to put up walls, to have an extramuros and an intramuros. Orlo had caught wind of this and turned around to get a look at Death. "It would be easier for you to understand if you could see one of the pinprick maths," he said.
"Pinprick maths?"
"Some are no more than a one-room apartment with an electrical clock hanging on the wall and a well-stocked bookcase. One of out lives there alone, with no spiele, no gee-jaw. Perhaps every few years an inquisitor comes round and pokes his head in the door just to see that all is well."
"What's the point of that?" Death asked.
"That is precisely the question I am asking you to think about," Orlo said, and turned back round to resume a conversation with Jesri's father. Death threw up his hands. Arcibald and I laughed, but not at his expense. "That's how Pa Orlo does his dirty work," I told him. "Tonight, instead of sleeping, you'll lie awake wondering what he meant," Arcibald said.
"Well, aren't you guys going to help me? I'm not a fra," Death pleaded.
What would motivate someone to sit alone in a one-room apartment reading and thinking? Archibald asked. What would have to be true of a person for them to consider that a life well spent?
I don't know. Maybe they're really shy, scared of open spaces?
Agoraphobia is not the correct answer, Archibald said, a little huffy.